This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women. I'm Kendra Petroni, and these past few weeks have been quite unique, scary, confusing, and by no shortage of means, overwhelming for many of us. Well, this morning, I'm really happy that we have Bridget Boyd. She's the Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the United Way of Massachusetts Bay and the Merrimack Valley. And boy, do we need you this morning.
Good morning. Yes, it's definitely a crisis that's impacting all of us.
It has been. First of all, let me ask, how are you doing? How is your family? And how are you dealing with all of this that's been happening?
You know, I think like everybody, I have my good days and my bad days. I think overall, I'm really grateful that we are able to, you know, sort of hunker in a home. We've got power, we've got internet, we get along. You know, I've got three children. I think my sadness comes in where one of my kids is a high school senior, so sort of like, you know, all that goes along with that this time of year. You know, it's been a little bit emotional. He's handling it well, but you know, on the whole, you know, I've been able to work and keep busy, which has also been great. And again, just sort of grateful that when we need to hunker in, we've got a comfortable place to do it.
Well, the United Way, I mean, you guys have done incredible work for so many people for so long. Talk a little bit about your mission in general, and for anybody that's listening that isn't familiar with the United Way, what your goal and what your purpose is every day, not even just surrounding the coronavirus situation.
You know, ironically, I would say our mission in general is actually very relevant to what's happening today. And what I mean by that is that United Way has a long history of mobilizing both businesses, individuals in the community, and others to come together and give and support nonprofit organizations throughout our region. We support organizations in 142 communities in and around Greater Boston, up through the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley, even into Seacoast, New Hampshire, and then down to the South Shore. And we support organizations that we know are deploying the most effective strategies to help kids in early education settings, to help families move out of poverty, and to help end homelessness. And every day, the work that United Way is doing to help mobilize resources for those nonprofits are providing community-based organizations with unrestricted operating support that they can use to fund programs, to fund their staffing, keep the lights on. You know, it's been sort of the bread and butter of United Way's work for decades. So what we're finding today in this time, you know, when many nonprofits have had to cancel, you know, their spring galas. You know, they too are looking at how do they serve their clients in an era where they cannot have that face-to-face interaction, many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and having to close, in some cases, the after-school programs or the early education and care, again, due to the social distancing and the strategies that we need to adhere to at this time in order to minimize the spread of the virus. And so in an era like this, that unrestricted operating support is even more critical to the nonprofits that we support.
How has this affected, you know, your workplace and just the staff members and the people that work with you at the United Way? How has this, you know, personally affected you sort of as a business, because you have to remember, everybody has to remember that every organization, everywhere, nobody can be together. So how is this affecting you as an employee and your staff members as we go through this?
Sure. I'm actually really proud of our staff. We have been remote, and we have been all remote now for a couple of weeks. So everyone has a laptop. We're able to connect a lot more on meetings, like Zoom meetings, where we're able to see each other. I think that's been one piece, you know, for me at least, that's been helpful, is sitting all day on a phone on a conference call at one after another can get tedious. Mm-hmm. And I think actually seeing my coworkers' faces has been, you know, comforting and entertaining at the same time. You know, but I think it's really a way for us to stay connected. I would also say that, you know, for many of us, we've actually been busier than ever the past couple of weeks, helping on all fronts to respond to this crisis, whether it's our my colleagues that are working directly with our agency partners to understand how this crisis is impacting them and how we can best help, to my colleagues that work directly with, you know, companies and businesses, mm-hmm. and, you know, helping to connect those companies to the different opportunities that there are to help in the community throughout this crisis. So we've been really busy. I think we're all motivated to help in whatever way we can. And, you know, the remote part has been a little bit challenging sometimes, but I think for the most part, everybody's adapted really easily.
I was going to ask about that, you know, the working remotely. Because for my job, I mean, I have to do the same. Obviously, I'm not doing it at a capacity that you would be with all the work that you do, helping so many people every single day, just in general, never mind with a situation like this tacked on. But I find that I have to be either super organized or get some kind of control over my day when I didn't have to do that before. And I'm trying to figure out ways to be a little more, I guess, better at multitasking. Are you finding that it's almost teaching you to be a better person when it comes to organizing time? Or is it sort of just a hot mess? Because I feel like I'm sometimes the hot mess in my house. But how has working remotely from home been working for you?
You know, it's interesting. I have traditionally a long commute. And so at first, you know, the idea of working at home was, you know, I thought, well, at least I won't have to have the commute and I will have sort of more hours in the day to get things done. And one thing that I've found is that I almost have to intentionally do a break at 5 p.m., you know, to stop. Mm-hmm. Because you're not sort of in a situation now where you can look around the office and you see everybody else is gone and you're like, oh, okay, it's time for me to go home too. Or, you know, you've got an hour ride home, you know, in order to get home and start to cook dinner for the family and that sort
right.
of thing. And so you hop in the car to get home. I'm finding that at five, it sort of bleeds on into the rest of the evening, unless I make an intentional effort to sort of break away for a little bit and do what I need to do. That's been my experience, really.
It's such a unique time, isn't it? Nobody knows what's going on. Everybody's asking a lot of questions, but it is comforting knowing that even somebody at your level is sort of going through and feeling and experiencing the same thing we all are. Everybody that has had a job and has worked every day, we're all sort of figuring out new things as we go. And I think it's comforting. And I wonder if that's the take that you get, even from the families that you've worked with, that it's okay. Everybody's in it together. You're not missing out. One person isn't doing better than the other. We're all sort of equal at this point. Do you feel that's a fair statement?
I do, in the sense that, yes, you know, I actually have taken a lot of comfort in the fact that this is literally an issue that the entire world is dealing with at the same time. And so, you know, when it does come to sort of things that I feel like I'm dealing with personally, I know that others are dealing with the same things, if not worse. And that's mm-hmm. the only part that I would say is, you know, I think for families who are experiencing a very sudden income disruption from a loss of a job or elimination of hours that may not have any sort of savings safety net, I imagine the stress is much worse than whatever I might be going through. And that's the only difference I would say in that statement.
Well, if you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. And we've been talking with Bridget Boyd. She's the Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the United Way of Massachusetts Bay and the Merrimack Valley about the situation surrounding the COVID-19 crisis and how the United Way is helping families in need. Let's get back to our conversation. First, I wanted to ask you about the Massachusetts 211 website. That's a phone number that people can call 24 hours a day to get current information regarding the COVID-19 crisis. Is that correct?
That's right. A couple of weeks ago, it was designated by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to be the official resource and referral information line for COVID-19. And it's it's both a phone number and a website. So you can dial 211 from any phone, or you can go to mass211.org for information and resources. And, you know, since that activation, it's received over 22,000 phone calls.
Wow.
In just about 2 weeks here. And, you know, what we're finding is that people are calling about questions such as, how do I apply for unemployment assistance? Mm-hmm. How do I find childcare? I need emergency childcare. You know, they might be a healthcare worker, a first responder, somebody who's eligible for emergency childcare that the Commonwealth has set up. So we've got information about that. Some people are calling to ask, you know, is my small business an essential business? How do I find out? And food assistance is another top inquiry that it's getting. It's available in English and Spanish. It also has an interpreter service where 150 additional languages are available. So
Wow. It
is a great resource. It experienced a really high call volume that I know the Mass 211 staff has been working hard to address, and the wait times have gone down significantly from when it first was activated. United Ways across the state actually provided some additional funding last week to help them staff up more and respond to more of those calls. And, you know, the Department of Public Health is pitching in and lending their staff during peak times. It's really an all-hands-on-deck effort to make sure people get the information they need.
And I'm going to give the website a few times. If people want any of this information, just go to unitedwaymassbay.org. We'll post a link at the end of this interview on our blog page and all our social media pages so you can get access directly to anything that you may need. Now, I wanted to talk about something awesome, I mean, that you guys are doing. So many people are coming up with ways to help families in need. But the United Way of Massachusetts Bay and Merrimack Valley has launched the COVID-19 Family Support Fund. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So we launched this fund about 2 weeks ago. And what we wanted to do was mobilize a network of organizations that we have in place that can provide, you know, emergency financial assistance to families in need from this crisis. And, you know, we launched the fund knowing that we had these partners in place. We know that they are throughout the region, so again, throughout our entire service area that I was talking about earlier. And we've also been coordinating with other funds, you know, namely the City of Boston has the Resiliency Fund, and we've been in close contact with the mayor's office to ensure that our efforts are complementing each other and that we're coordinating, because, you know, one thing we know, I think, is that there will be no shortage of need, you know, in the mm-hmm. in the weeks and months to come. So the fund has been established. We've raised over $1.2 million so far. More than 1,000 donors have been chipping in. People have really been tremendous in their response, and we're very grateful for their support. And we've been working hard to try to get that money out to the communities as fast as we can. So, you know, we've had some significant corporate support from companies like Bank of America, Eastern Bank, Wells Fargo, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, a number of businesses that have also contributed to the fund. And what that's enabling us to do is, again, turn that money around very quickly. So we, as of today, will have be putting out over $400,000.
Wow.
Straight back out to about 35 community agencies throughout our footprint. And, you know, we have already kind of surveyed those agencies and wanted to make sure that they were ready and sort of activated to be able to help us deploy resources as quickly as possible. And so what the agencies are doing are they will be meeting, with families who are eligible, determining what needs might be greatest, and also determining what other sources of funding, whether it's government sources or other private sources, are available to those families, and then using our funds to help fill any gaps. We believe that that's one of the most effective ways to use resources and ensure that all basic needs like food, housing, utilities are met.
Can I ask, so if you're a family, if there's a family listening to us right now and they feel as though they are one of these families that is in desperate need, how would they go about getting in touch with you in order to receive any funds or any support that they may need?
That's a great question. And what we need families to do is actually call 211.
Okay.
So that helpline, the workers on the other end of that phone will ask questions, like, where do you live? What mm-hmm. are your needs? And they'll really try to assess the full situation of the family and then connect them to local agencies that are in their communities or nearby in order to receive that assistance. So United Way itself does not provide the funding directly. We're working with our network of partners who are on the front lines every day, working with families and clients, and also know their own clients, very well, and know already what needs they might have. But 211 is the best place for that information.
And again, if anyone listening, has a question or any wants to know more about what we're talking about, it's UnitedWayMassBay.org. Want to make sure everybody has all of that information so they can go to the website as often as possible. Bridget, is there something positive that you have learned out of what we're going through now? Maybe something that you've experienced that has changed you?
I think the notion of how we're all in this together, and that only by staying together will we get through this. And I think I think about that from a United Way perspective, right? Where when you've got government and businesses and individuals all coming together, we're going to do more working collaboratively, coordinating efforts than any of us can do on our own, and that's one piece. And I, personally, I sort of look to, at my own family and knowing that we're also in this together mm-hmm. and really only by, supporting each other and enjoying the time that we have with each other will we get through this, And I think that's been the biggest piece is it just seems to me that we're all sort of putting aside our own individual priorities, I guess, and all sort of joining and rallying around some common efforts and things we need to be doing.
I wanted to ask you, only because I have three small children at home and I have two children that have special needs. I know a lot of parents out there are concerned or worried, kids are not in school. What advice would you give to the parents that are stressing, that have young children at home that may have other needs? What can they do to stay positive? What advice would you have for them?
Sure. I'm actually on the school committee in my local town. So this is another issue that I've been following closely. And I guess the things that I would say are a few. One is a number of school districts have made a lot of online learning resources available to the parents and the students in their communities, and they're age appropriate. We're following guidelines from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education here in the state. And I would just encourage parents, if you haven't checked out those resources, to look for them, because there are a lot being put together. And I think, there's even more to come as far as, online activities and different things that people can look for. I would say, as far as, kids who have special needs and need some additional support services, I would say that's an area that I feel like the state is looking at even more now that the school closures mm-hmm. have been extended. So my hope is that, actually with an extension, there's actually more to come on that on that front as well.
Well, Bridget, what you're doing is just remarkable, and the United Way is such an amazing organization. And again, I want to just say it's UnitedWayMassBay.org, and they do have a COVID-19 family support fund. So please go to their website, get more information. If you're listening and you want to donate, you want to get involved, please do so. This is a time where we need everybody's help. And Bridget, I so appreciate, I know you guys are so busy right now, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on Exceptional Women. It really means a lot. And I, from a woman standpoint, a working person standpoint, a parent, you know, I think the job that you're doing is incredible. Please keep it up, because without people like you, I don't know what we would do, especially in a situation like this. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And you know, there's so many people out there doing great work, and that's what's going to keep everybody going.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bridget, so much for the time this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Bridget Boyd for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We talk to celebrities and CEOs, but we're also interested in your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest, and follow us on Instagram at sue.tab and at Kendra the Entertainer. We'd love to hear from you, and be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Thanks for listening, and have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.